gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm wearing Lululemon see-through pants.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. We're back from vacation. Oh, look, God, guns, and gays. Look, it's new subjects. It's all new subjects. What's happened while we've been gone? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Full strength, back from vacation with Jackie Schachner, live in studio.
Now with more Jackie.
Well, Hal left her here, and so, you know, she's like a little rescue puppy.
Yeah.
She's a rescue news puppy.
I'm a squatter.
Did you see the video of the cat leading the dog on the leash? It's cat video.
Oh, Kitty, no, you don't own a dog. You've gotten us off track already, and we just got back.
Great.
That's what you people did over vacation?
I went to Canyon Ranch, which is awesome.
And you bought the shirt.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. I sent you guys pictures from 7,000 feet.
Yes, for
hiked for 7 hours.
Yes, for relaxation, she hikes for 17 hours.
Right, I had an awesome time. An amazing time at Canyon Ranch.
Tucson's a beautiful city.
Roland's still alive.
Tucson's very nice.
I was going to ask where you bury the body.
He wisely skipped the hikes.
Yeah.
But he now thinks he's going to be a tennis pro.
Ah.
So he wants me to manage his professional tennis career.
Sure.
What circuit is that?
I'm not really sure. But I watched him a little bit. I'm like, oh, honey. Oh, mommy says good. Okay.
Good.
Yikes.
You hit the net twice. That's good.
He looks like he's cutting wheat. He is not good yet. But he thinks he is. Nobody tell him.
It's real good what you did, Roland. It's
real
good.
Oh, that's great. Oh, my God. Roger Federer must be his pants. All right. So I have the, because you know I have a story. Because I usually fly Screaming Baby Airlines.
Yes.
I have the most awesome story ever. This could only happen to me on a plane.
Okay.
First, can I have some story music, please?
Sure.
This is a festive vacation story, Jackie. So let me just say, first of all, nothing good ever comes from flight delays in airport bars.
Oh.
Am I correct?
Hmm.
Okay, so the flight was delayed from Tucson. I was in Tucson. And I'm minding my own business, drinking.
As you do.
As I do. It was late afternoon. I wasn't one of those really sad people in an airport bar at like 9 a.m.
Are you at the bar? Or are you sitting at the bar?
Yes, I was at the bar.
Okay.
Thank you for all the details. Journalist needs all the details.
I do.
You're definitely
have to get
not
a mental image of just how sad.
But you're definitely not a baby in a bar.
No, that would be sadder.
As long as they don't run out of rye.
Babies like rye. That's a tip from us. All right, so this is attractive middle-aged woman, you know, just came up and she was ordering
a hot
drink.
Chick.
Yeah. She's all right. I wasn't thinking. Where are you going, Jim? Okay. I wasn't really thinking like that. We're just chatting. You know how you do. You're killing time in the airport bar. She ordered a drink. We're chatting. You know, she's a psychotherapist.
And you're the psycho. So
trust me. Right away.
Yeah, perfect. She's a therapist, you're the psycho. So
there you
perfect.
Go, perfect.
Yeah.
Chatting. Delay. Flight to LA delayed. So she's going to visit or do it adult kids here in LA. We got chatting. Her husband passed away a few years ago. Blah blah blah. She was showing me some guys she's dating on match.com. She's like, what do you think of him? Blah blah blah. At some point she said, oh, what about you? I said, I'm gay.
You got the gay on you.
So you know where this is going. So she's, oh. Well, you know, I've been with some women. I've had some, I was like, And she goes, well, you know, there's nothing like the really loud. I'm like, well, all right, you lost me there, but okay.
What? Would she
like
scream that in the?
Yes. What? I was
the
okay.
P word.
Right. Well, no.
The C word?
Right.
Whoa.
Really?
I was just like, all right. What time's that flight leaving? So anyway, it's fine chatting. Thought, okay. Blah, blah, blah. So we get on the flight, still chatting. At this point, now I'm done chatting because now I'm on the flight, so I'm, you know, reading.
Is she sitting next to you?
Yes.
Reading. Coincidentally, or did she move her seat to be next to you?
No, we all just got on together, and yeah.
Well, that's when you strap your headphones on and just, you give this international signal of, I don't want to be bothered by putting your headphones on.
Z-z-z-z.
Exactly.
V-v-v. Bag of shush.
And yes.
So, and there's like a teenage girl, like, from the LC, sitting on the other side. I don't know, she's senior in high school, freshman in college, something, teenage, like, you know, older teenager.
How do you know her business?
I don't No, because we were all chatting.
Oh.
We were just...
Right.
Whatever. So at some point, international signal, I am reading now. No more blah, blah, blah. And then I started to, like, doze off a little bit. And at some point, she reached, leaned into me, and she said, may I kiss you?
Oh, hello.
What? I went, what? What? No. No, no, no. No,
on the
no.
plane?
Yes.
PDA?
Yes. With a
with a stranger?
Yes. It's like, guy, I was like, no.
With that little girl right there?
No. I said, no, 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 no. Thank you, but
corrupting
no.
Corrupting the little girl from
it
the OC?
It was like she was offering me a mint. Can I? No.
I'd like a real
Had she been drinking and gotten maybe a little lubricated?
No, with, like a couple of glasses. Not like, no, not drunk.
That's drinking. That's loosening up
not
a little
to
bit.
To shove your tongue in a stranger's mouth. I was just like, it's like, oh, you know what? That's why I got out the bullhorn. Okay.
Attention, straight people, men and women. My telling you I'm gay is not an opportunity to shove your tongue in my mouth. I am not that kind of gay.
See, this is perfect on Supreme Court week, isn't it?
Sure.
Right, I'm the one with the bad family values.
Attention, horny straight women. You cannot just try it. There's paperwork. There's an oral exam.
I bet.
You don't just dive into this.
Oh, really?
Oh God.
Then why am I here?
I, what do you mean? I don't. Anyway, it was just. I've never. Such a thing happened to me. I'm like. Now it's like straight men and women. What is about? What is that about? They just. It's a challenge.
It's like a free for all.
Yes.
Anybody can play.
Straight people, I am not the lesbian droid you were looking for. I am not the lesbian porn droid you were hoping for.
You have to go to Japan for that.
Okay,
but you know what? You are one of those hot lesbians. So
she, at the end of the flight, she's like, oh, I'm sorry if I was a little forward. She goes, oh, but you know, okay, because here's the part you're going to yell at me. We exchanged numbers earlier because I thought she was, she goes, oh, I'm visiting my son for a week. We should hike or whatever. I know people at Canyon Ranch. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh,
anyway,
no.
she goes, sorry, I was forward, but you know what? Call me if you want to play.
Wow! Yikes.
And I said, yeah, I don't really, I'm not that kind of, no, I don't really play. Thanks. Oh, my gosh. Well, have fun with your son. Bing! And then I skedaddled. So, Screaming Baby Airlines has been replaced with...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard Horny Straight Chick Airlines. Should a smoking hot lesbian drop from the overhead compartment, attach her immediately to your face. Ignore the child sitting next to you.
Right.
Flight attendants, join me in the cockpit. Reasonably, call it the cockpit.
Thank you, Jim.
Wow.
Yeah, can you imagine the OC girl if that happened?
Oh my God. This is not happening behind the orange curtain. They're, Mom, oh my God, I gotta get my cell phone on.
No, and they're like, well, lesbians on the plane.
Oh my God, there's like, I don't know, there's one girl, they're talking to another
but
girl.
But then you might turn her gay and you might have hot lesbian teenager action. I don't know.
Three-way!
Yeah!
Ermagerd, lesbian.
Jackie, because she's my BFF, knows this. I'm a bit of a hopeless romantic. My parents were married for 40 years. Really? Getting someone's stranger's tongue in my mouth on Southwest? Not my romantic dream! This was not how I thought my life was going to work out.
It's the airline that matters.
Sounded great until the Southwest part.
Yeah!
She's like, I saw this happening on Virgin.
Only Jim would think this is so hot. And I'm like, no. Not when it's a stranger.
Not on Southwest.
What? Exactly. On it. Now on, you know.
On Virgin.
On Virgin, right?
Yeah.
Assigned seating is a whole other story.
Yeah. Bow wow. Waka waka. Oh, dear.
Southwest is a greyhound with wings. You know, you're in the air, and suddenly you're in Oklahoma City. And then you're back in the air again, and you're in Chicago.
And there was some choppiness, so I'm like, this is it? This is, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
The dips over here. Oh, babe. And then I was.
Used the choppiness for.
And then I was dozing off. Like you to pretend it's an accident? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oops.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I touch nip? I'm sorry. So totally an accident. Oh, all right. Anyway, yeah, I did do a lot of hiking.
Yep.
But here's what happens when you're hiking for 7 hours, Jim.
You have a lot of
time, right. A. B. A lot of time to think. You know, a lot of time to think about your life. And
did you hike alone?
No, with, you know, groups.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which is bad if you need to,
right,
know,
but you can't talk the whole time.
Drop trowel and, you know,
right.
Take care of business.
Yes. At any rate, But you have a lot of time to, you know, what's the word, Chris? Meditate.
Sure.
Whatever.
Think back on all the mistakes of your life.
Oh, believe me.
Believe me, there's at least 7 hours worth.
I did some of that, too.
That's right. Mm.
Staycations are good for just sitting and stewing.
Just sitting and
I'm contemplating all the wrong turns.
Like, exactly. Your errors.
Yes.
Well, can I have another? I don't know what you, kind of. This is going to be profound. This is more a profound story, Jackie.
Mm. More profound than Screaming Hot Chick Airlines?
Put a stranger's tongue in my mouth on Southwest.
Yes.
Now, no, but you have time for profound thoughts. You become Jack Handy on a hike. You have big thoughts.
Deep thoughts with Jack Handy.
That's right. Well, because a lot of them are rocky, the hikes, and there's a little gravel and you slip going down.
It's the desert.
Right.
I've been through the desert on a horse with no name.
Thanks.
There are birds and
you guys, because you know me.
Sand.
Since before Marconi invented this.
Yes.
And the desert.
I used to actually be in a stable relationship, you know, for almost 10 years. So you knew me what. So the last 5 years, Jim, have been what would you say? Like a little bit of gravel. Hit a little bit of gravel and you get right? Like a cartoon relationship wise, right?
Been spinning out for years.
Right. I said once I hit a rough spot in the road, Jim goes, "You are the road."
Yeah.
Jim is not the friend you call when you're feeling
no.
Be
but
the
that's,
road.
That's what I was thinking. Is it's like a couple of times just when I thought I hit stable ground, you're like, "Oh, finally stable, happy ground." No more gravel.
Oil slick.
I knew I should have got new tires.
It's more gravel.
We need to put snow tires on you.
I took a few headers.
Yeah. We need to put snow tires on
you. I know. Right, chains.
Yeah.
That'll make the straight chicks even hotter.
Was there a conclusion? Did you reach some sort of
epiphany? No, just that life is all gravel.
Good to
know. And then you die. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that uplifting? Did you think there was going to be an uplifting end to that story?
I thought you were going to come to some sort of life-affirming epiphany.
No.
She had to pick the gravel out of the palms of her hands. She fell on.
Right.
You know what gravel becomes?
She braced herself against the fall. Ow.
You know what gravel becomes eventually, Jim? Sand. Becomes sand.
No.
And that's when it becomes leadership.
Oh, boy.
People want leadership, Mr. President. In the absence of genuine leadership, they'll listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone.
They'll eat the gravel.
They'll
drink the gravel.
Okay.
They're so thirsty for it, they'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand.
People don't drink the sand because they're thirsty.
That's right.
They drink the sand because they don't know the difference.
All right, I didn't have an inspirational point. I stole it from Rob Reiner. But it doesn't matter. It still had a happy
Michael
ending.
And Michael Douglas and Michael J. Fox.
Right, it had a happy ending. Okay, and the president exhibiting leadership on marriage equality. Yes! Nothing but net! All right, to 18 minutes after the hour, we'll be back talking about a big week.
The weirdest first segment ever, I think.
Are you guys dizzy? I am.
I am.
I that's going to make me vomit in a second, that whole segment. 19 minutes.
Or kiss a stranger.
In
Jackie,
gravel.
Come here.
I've been here the whole time. That doesn't work on me.
I think the people on Current would stay tuned for that.
Hot girl on girl, next.
How needy are we here?
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, the rude pundit at the bottom of the hour. Janie in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Janie.
Good morning, and how are you, my dear?
I'm just fine.
Good. I am going to be going to Georgia to my redneck sister's house.
Awesome.
Formerly Neil Bart's country, you know?
Yes, awesome.
And so my partner and I are flying Southwest, and I just wondered how you did that.
Lesbian flying tips?
I'm not looking for a new partner or anything else, but, you know, you never know. I have to take notes on these things.
Would you like to make out with a horny straight chick? Is that what you're saying?
I don't want straight.
Janie, good luck to you. Good luck to you and your partner. I don't think you're partnered up. I think you need to be alone and vulnerable. And that's when the horny straight chicks strike.
They can smell vulnerable.
Right?
Yeah. They can smell. Almost desperation.
Sweaty desperation is a turn-on for some people, apparently. Apparently. You can only find love in an airport bar in Tucson. All right.
That was a country song, I think.
Exactly. All right, the point is, Mom and the Mooks are back.
They were off for a week. I took some Xanax and I'm okay. Thought I'd lose my cool, but I held it together.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Hope Chris and Jim had a good time on holiday. And you're all well rested and ready to play. And your trip with Roland was okay. Now tap that box of wine and go crazy.
Yeah!
Audra.
Thank you, Audra in Minneapolis. Come on down to Chicago Sexy Liberal on April 13th, Chicago Theater. Get those tickets. They're going fast.
What did you bring me?
What?
Oh, what did you bring me?
I forgot to. I'm sorry.
Partridge in a pear tree?
You know what you can get at the Tucson airport?
What?
Like lollipops with scorpions inside of them.
That's what I got you.
Sure.
And bolo ties.
And bolo ties.
I thought she was going to bring me back a bi-curious middle-aged woman.
is that what you're seeking right now?
No, but apparently that's what you can get at the Tucson airport.
Apparently. You're sitting near me. Okay. It came to you. You didn't even have to shop for it.
There'll be one under the Hanukkah bush this year.
See, I thought it was a guy thing because nothing makes guys hotter than you are unavailable in any way. I've had a streak of this lately. Just that whole, I'm not that kind of gay. I'm not doing it to turn you on. I'm doing it to turn me on.
That's selfish of you.
Seriously, my friends, there's been a spate of like,
you just haven't met the right guy yet.
That's what it is. Right. No, they think you just have not seen their yet. You'll be like, Oh, that one.
Well, that changes
everything. Wow, if I had seen that, they think I'm going to have that. I could have had a V8 moment. Oh, I could have had your.
Well, you've seen Roland's balls, so.
Yeah, I have, and that's for me even gayer. I have gotten considerably gayer since vacationing with Roland.
Well, they're gay balls. So,
right.
Yeah.
I'm like Katherine Heigl. I'm sorry, I just threw up a little bit. Okay. Anyway, the point is. It's Marriage Equality Week at the Supreme Court. Right? Starting tomorrow, Jackie.
Yes.
How much do I love this story? This is a love story. House across from the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Someone, a gay activist, bought it and painted it rainbow.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I heard they took their time, too, because they wanted to make sure it wasn't an eyesore, that it was well done.
Oh, it was so tastefully appointed. Uplighting.
It could use some landscaping, though.
Did they not get a decorator?
Oh my God. The Westboro Baptist Church has a call for a new neighbor. Roy G. Biv isn't going anywhere soon. Planting peace,
Roy G. Biv.
Right.
Because that's the rainbow.
Right. It's a Florida-based nonprofit.
Red,
they purchased
orange,
the house directly across from the notoriously homophobic Westboro Baptist Church today. It was, painted the gay pride flag. President and founder Aaron Jackson said he came across a picture of 9-year-old Joseph Miles countering the Westboro Baptist Church picketing with a small sign written in pencil that simply said, God hates no one.
Aww.
I saw that. That was great.
Jackson checked to see where the infamous, you know what he did? Google Maps Street View.
Ha ha.
And he said he saw that there was a house for sale, and he bought it and painted it the colors of the gay pride flag.
Aww.
Hoorah! Nicely done, sir. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, the Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The only thing I'm high on is love. Love for
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
So Marge Simpson was the lady on the blanket.
We had a little meeting at my house yesterday.
Yeah.
And Travis sent me pictures of you taking your pants off in my driveway.
I took my pants off in your driveway.
Yeah. So now everybody in the neighborhood was like, what is going on with that chick now? You were going to a pool party?
I was changing into a bathing suit. I had a Speedo on underneath. So
hot.
It wasn't
can
like my twigs and berries. No, you can't.
Is he in charge of Twitter now? I can make him post it.
No, you cannot.
Yes, I can.
I am his boss.
I can do it. I'm your boss. Ha ha.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Ha ha. All right.
How is that different from the photo you already have up on Facebook?
Oh, because I have shorts on there.
Oh, okay. Well. Okay. It's Monday. You know what that means, everybody.
It's Lee Poppet, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, rudeness.
This show's been quite
good
rude enough
morning.
Already.
Yeah, we've out-rooted you already. Good luck.
Ah, come on. Just horny housewives on Southwest? Please.
It's a reality show.
Yeah.
I tell you what. Good morning, sir. Happy Marriage Equality Week.
Well, happy Marriage Equality Week to you.
I mean, let's hope.
You're feeling positive?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we were just reading Rob Portman's son's piece, which I love that. He came out, was it to his best friend, Jackie?
Yeah, and his best friend said, me too.
It's like that scene in In-N-Out. I'm gay. Is everybody gay?
I'm Spartacus.
Then they laughed about their lousy gaydar.
Everybody gay!
So is this going to obligate you for future relationships if marriage equality passes?
Yeah, listen,
or gets through the Supreme Court?
If I can find anybody that's even a skosh beyond bicurious and on a better airline, I am all in.
You need to fly Virgin.
You know, the captain can perform a ceremony, I think.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, actually, there was a lot of turbulence, and I thought at some point it was going to be like that scene in Almost Famous. Okay, never mind. So, rudeness, yeah, how are you feeling? What do you think?
Oh, I think that, actually, I think they're going to, that everybody's going to be disappointed, and they're going to decide it in the most narrow way possible. I'm sorry. I think they're going to decide it on a Prop 8 case on, and DOMA on standing, on who has standing to bring, especially DOMA. They'll decide it on a narrow that somebody doesn't have standing to bring the case, and same with Prop 8. So it'll overturn it. It'll overturn, Prop 8 in California. I think that's gone.
Right.
Without a doubt. But I'm going to hold out the big optimistic, just let everybody get married decision. I hope for that, but I don't believe
right.
It's going to happen.
I mean, what makes me nervous is when you have somebody like a Ruth Bader. Oh, are you okay, Jim? Sorry, I was just doing a hernia test on Jim. When, you know, you have somebody like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, right, saying, she's obviously a pro-choice, but saying, did Roe v. Wade, was it too much, too far, too fast, and created a backlash? That's a little unnerving, right?
Right, except that I think that the nation's ready for that. And, right. I mean, you know, especially young people, what is it, 80% of young people are, people under 30 are, God, that's young people, I feel so old.
Right, I know. All right, Grandpa.
Get off my lawn!
Drop the prunes for a minute. Go ahead.
That they support marriage equality and that there's a good percent of people in both parties across the political spectrum, including evangelicals, that just don't give a damn anymore.
Right.
They're like, okay, fine. You know what? Get married.
Yeah, it's interesting. Frank Bruni in the New York Times just did you read that, had a good piece, Marriage and the Supremes. The context for the hearings is an unstoppable gay revolution. I think it was him that talked about how it is different than abortion, because like it's what you just alluded to, that we are so much farther ahead in terms of this if you look at any of the polling. And as you say, whether it's the Portmans or whoever on the Republican side, Cheney's, Bush's, I mean, this has become not a partisan issue anymore, right?
I think it's also kind of telling that that all you get on the Sunday talk shows are old people in the conservative movement that are opposed to gay marriage. That it's as if they can't find anybody from contemporary conservatism that's going to come out there and say and oppose it
just
outright.
Listen, I have a 90-year-old Republican mom that when I came out to her, she said, "Oh, Steffi, but you're so pretty. Aren't you attracted to men?" I mean, but at the same time, I'm her daughter and she loves me, and so she's supportive. And I think that's what's happening all over the country, right? It's your daughter, it's your brother, it's your whatever, right?
Right, and I think we have to ask what's going on in America that so many gay people are being raised by ostensibly conservative parents.
Right, and I said, well, yes, I am attracted to men, but not as much as horny bys on Southwest Airlines flights.
That's right. But I mean,
she understood
again,
that.
Wasn't it weird yesterday that they had Ralph Reed and Gary Bauer out there talking about gay marriage? I mean, it really was like just watching Meet the Press in the 1980s. You know, it was. That there's nobody who's willing to come out.
Right.
And who would
not want to Gary Bauer, frankly?
Gary Bauer.
He looks like Peter Lorre. Have you noticed?
His corpse is fresh.
Oh, yeah. But to be the meat in a Gary Bauer, Ralph Reed sandwich. Come on, you know?
It has been previously speculated on the Stephanie Miller Show that he might like sex with the dead. But we have no information.
Just
only opposite sex.
He looks like Peter Lorre.
Right. He looks like Peter Lorre.
He does, and Ralph Reed just it looks like he's been preserved in formaldehyde.
Perfect. Matrimony.
Yes. So the two of them together are just like a lab experiment waiting to happen.
God.
I bet. Yeah. I mean, it really. That's the thing. They really do seem like dinosaurs when you even hear them. Talking about, and then I was reading an article this weekend about somebody from one of these family things. They've devoted their whole life to this, really, to stopping other people from loving each other.
That's right.
I mean, it's really kind of a you just kind of go, really? Is there another hobby you could get into, maybe?
Especially that lady from NAM.
Right.
NAM.
National Organization for Marriage.
And again, I love the Family Research Council.
Yeah, you're on their mailing list.
Right.
I am not on their mailing list. I'm on their prayer target. Mailing list, which means every week I get told what to pray for.
Right, your super duper prayer directives.
The super duper prayer thing. And let me tell you, we are getting flooded with praying against gay marriage.
Okay.
Urgent prayer for marriage is what we got this week. Urgent prayer.
Don't you think what happened to me on Southwest is you know, God's way of saying he wants marriage equality? Don't you think?
Yeah.
Because
they're
the one that accuse us of having no family values, and their stranger wants to shove her tongue in my mouth on an airline. Like,
and by the way,
in front of a child.
It's Southwest Airlines. Isn't Southwest Airlines sort of got that kind of family values reputation?
Right. Right.
You know? So.
I was the one going, I don't know. I don't play. Stop it.
No one's joined the Mile High Club on Southwest.
I gave her the Am Romney stop it. It was very icy and rude. It was very shut her down.
Stop it.
Okay.
This is hard.
Southwest is hard.
Stop it.
I mean, I hate to ask sort of a question that's hanging out there, but she hot?
she was attractive. But I have family values. If she want to get married. I don't want to.
You don't want to get your rocks off every once in a while?
This is a Mile High Club opportunity here, and with a high corruption value. I mean,
you know that was what was happening, Jim. If I would have gone for it, she'd have been like, "Let's go to the bathroom."
Of course, if she had said this is hard, then you
right.
might have been an indication of something else going on.
Yes, you're not a woman.
I got to read you just so you can get a full flavor of the insanity of those opposing gay marriage.
Yes,
here's the prayer. That we were asked to pray.
Please take your organ out for Ruby.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Uh-huh. Yes. May those arguing on behalf of same-sex marriage present their arguments in an inept, confusing, and unconvincing way.
What?
Wow.
May they fail to gain traction in the minds of the justices. That's what we're supposed to
Ted
pray.
Ted Olson's like, eat my gravel soup, bitch. Really?
I know.
May they be boiled alive and the devil's bouillabaisse. And
I'm sure Ted Olson and David Boies will really muck that up. Well, that's nice.
Wow, they're praying for ineptitude.
They're praying for ineptitude and that justice be governed by the fear of God.
Wow. Okay.
All right, then.
This is Tony Perkins.
God.
You know,
Tony Perkins was on one of the shows, and you know, it's great that there's a show on now about him as a young man. But,
yeah.
Who's the patron saint of ineptitude?
Bates Motel, that's what.
You know, Sonia Sotomayor was a bouncer at a bar at Yale. I think she could put the fear of God into anybody.
Wow. Is she really?
Yeah, she was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the
she's going to break off a bottle and go.
Yeah,
somebody.
She will.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Tony Sonia show is becoming the best thing in the Supreme Court.
Oh. right now. Hey, speaking of festive news, you bring us from your home state. A judge in Louisiana says people convicted of violent crimes can own and carry guns.
Great.
Then what could go wrong there?
No, nothing at all. And I love that it was actually because of a law, that an amendment to the state constitution that they passed in Louisiana last year that said that the right to keep and bear arms is a fundamental right. And any restriction must requires the highest standard of review by a court. And so applying that to whether or not any kind of convicted felon, including those, anybody convicted of anything that is considered a violent crime, is banned from owning a gun, no, that doesn't fall within the highest standard of review.
It is amazing, isn't it? I know a lot of people have talked about this, Rude, but when you look at the polling and the vast amount of majority of Americans and the gun measures they want and what we can actually get done, it just shows you how out of step this Congress is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially that we're even arguing about the expansion of background checks. You know, something that 91%, I think, of Americans support, maybe even more than that, and a vast majority of NRA members.
Yeah, just above unicorns that fart glitter. That's how popular gun control is, and yet we can't get it done. I mean, it's disgusting, isn't it?
And then some of the amendments that weren't some of the amendments that were put on the into the budget bills that were passed were about expanding gun ownership.
Yeah.
That those were some of the things that passed already. That's what we've done since Newtown in the Congress, is expanded gun ownership.
Was that kind of, you know, just out there courage from Harry Reid that we're used to?
I hope I haven't offended anyone by my sort of support for some kind of legislation sometime.
All right. And Rude, to end on not really not a festive note at all, but I know Hal and Jackie talked about, obviously, the Iraq War. It is amazing when you think of, we think we know the horror of it, and you pointed out yet another one, the birth defects we caused in Iraq, which is, along with other things, you say Iraq is now a divided country with a pitiless regime, Shia, though, instead of Sunni, so that's different, that uses rape, torture, and execution to punish its internal enemies, a place where terrorist bombings occur with frightening regularity, a place where they haven't even gotten the electrical grid back to where it was before the war. But hey, at least Saddam Hussein isn't running the joint, right? Of course, we still haven't discussed birth defects and cancer, and you talk about the depleted uranium. Right.
Munitions. Right, yeah. The use of... I think the estimate was in the course of the war, something like 8 billion depleted uranium bullets were used, and that's not even getting into the other munitions. And especially in places like Fallujah and Basra, where the bigger battles took place, just what that's left behind, the way in which that's causes birth defects, and that the rate of birth defects is now around 14%. So again, think about that. Think about that. If in California, one or more out of every 10 births had birth defects, and we're talking significant, like babies born with multiple limbs and one eye.
Yeah.
You know, so
same thing happened in Vietnam with Agent Orange that caused birth defects as well.
Right.
And you say, by the way, 250,000 bullets per insurgent killed in Afghanistan. No points for accuracy there. I mean, it's just, again, one of the, you know, when you even, and then you talk about all of the American soldiers disabled as well. I mean, it just goes on and on, right?
Right, right. And then, and you know, we don't know what the effects of that are going to be on the soldiers when they come back, and this, and especially female soldiers when they give birth later on in their lives, or you know, when they get back or whatever.
Here's the good news. Apparently, George W. Bush, a very good painter.
And his dog.
You would like your dogs painted. That would be the guy to go to.
Yes, his dogs are magnificent.
Yes.
And I want one of his Barneys hanging in my room.
Yep, I've never quite seen a Scotty in that kind of detail.
That's
all right.
Rudeness,
great stuff as always. We will see you next week. Thank you, honey.
Bye.
There he goes, rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Blogspot.com. We have a link to it up at your Facebook page.
Oh, my God. 48 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I hear you call my
Stephanie Miller.
And it feels like home when you call my name.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 53 minutes after the hour. Eric Bowler to Media Matters at the top of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Let's go to Kevin in D.C. Hi, baby.
Welcome back, Outmast Angel.
Thank you, my little Mandingo warrior.
Now, I got to say one thing. You know I love you, but just
yes.
Once, I'd like one of your little stories about encounters with straight women to end up with steamy girl on girl, but no.
All right.
Just
you,
like Lucy with Charlie Brown. You're
that's so true.
First, Katy Perry sings about kissing a girl and liking it, and she never does in the video, and now you. Teaser.
Neener. And nanny boo-boo. Okay.
Oh, boy.
He just filled in the story in his thought bubble. Just go ahead. Just it ended however you think it does. There you go. All right. Hey, speaking of Marriage Equality Week, Jackie Schechner.
Yes?
Jesse in Iowa has sent me yet another future husband. Just for options.
For me.
No, for me.
Oh.
Because
how come
it's also,
you get all the good ones?
Well, this be good. This brings together marriage and also guns.
Oh.
The themes of the week. A federal prison guard has been charged with shooting his own finger in a drunken attempt to remove his wedding ring during an argument with his wife. The gunshot badly mangled his finger, but did not remove the ring.
Wow.
He did not want to be married.
Here's a hint. Cut down on the sodium if you want to be able to kick your wedding ring.
Yeah. Right. There's another solution. Yeah. Vaseline, yet another solution.
Butter. Guns.
Butter.
Not so much.
The best part is
butter,
he shot
not guns.
It.
Butter, not guns. Exactly.
There you go.
The best part is he shot it and it didn't come off.
Right.
Wow.
Well, his finger did.
That's a sign from somebody.
Yes,
wait,
part
the
of his
finger came off with the ring.
No,
still
just
attached.
Part of it was mangled, but not the ring was still on the mangled finger.
Right.
Right.
And the ring said, I missed me.
It was
ironic in a week when gay people are fighting for the right
to get
marry.
Married, and he's
that
to get
guy
shot
really
his own finger off to get out.
Wants to not be married.
Yeah.
Just saying. Ironic. Jenny in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, sweetie.
Hello, precious pumpkin angel face, my little muffin top. What's going on?
Now, I just wanted to remind you that if you and I had gotten married on Groundhog Day, like I emailed you,
right.
Then you wouldn't have been in this mess because I would have been there to protect
aww.
You.
And who would our handsome and romantic child have been behind you? What's his name? Who is that behind you?
Oh, that's Buffy.
Buffy! Oh, she's a pretty girl.
It's Buffy.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
He needs to go to the vet and get a bath.
All right. Nobody would ever come to our house because we both talk the same way about our dog.
Then she'll slay some vampires.
Buffy needs to go to the vet.
Yeah, free at her handful.
All right.
God,
who watched your babies while you were away? A couple of the village that's raising my dogs. A couple of different friends.
It takes
they
a village.
They went in shifts.
What, Travis wasn't available?
No. I don't know why I didn't make that part of his contract.
Yeah.
Hire him.
Dog wrangler.
To be my house boy, my cabana boy.
Right.
I've been out of the pool for 30 seconds. Where's my towel? different friends.
Okay.
Different friends, yeah. Alan in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Alan, go.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, I see these towns passing these laws, these gun laws, where everybody must buy a gun, and I see no protests from the right about it. Could you imagine some town passing it, making it mandatory to register to vote, the protest you would get from the right?
Yeah, they're all anti-government until it's their issue. Then they're like, yeah, sure, the government can require you to buy a gun. It's ridiculous.
Thank you.
Listen, he'll take no further questions.
Apparently.
It was just a good brief press avail, and now he's done. Stop pestering him.
A red carpet interview.
Will you send me a message in a bottle?
Who are you wearing? All right, 58 minutes after the hour, Eric Bowler next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. We're back from vacation. Yay. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boyd, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Jackie Shatner is in Captain America's underpants with us here live in studio.
Apparently my hair looks very... I know. Apparently my hair looks very red in this light.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
It kind of does.
So I've been getting all sorts of comments about my hair
camera.
Looking super red.
Oh, you're a ginge.
Ginger spear, she's Ginger Spice News.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently that's what Captain America's underpants does to you.
Exactly. Mm. All right. Jim was talking about Wayne LaPierre on Meet the Press.
Yuck.
I mean, it's just more of the same dog whistles he was using in the other speech.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking about, it's not the guns that cause problems. It's rap music. And, you know, Hollywood, violent Hollywood movies. And he was almost doing the same thing in this rant, talking about
Bloomberg.
Yes, having all this money to spend.
Yeah, you know how they are.
Yeah.
Juice! All right.
You don't need to be a dog to hear that whistle.
It's the Road Flair Mary school of, show me a poor Jew!
Jesus?
We all recall that. Well,
Jesus.
I think we did mention that to Mary. That was a pretty ready example, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the most famous Jew ever.
Right. All right. The point is, Wayne LaPierre only represents the people that are making their money from guns. My point.
This is a story about Bubba Joe, a skeeter too. Two gun lovers with nothing better to do. They sit around a house, pick their nose, and watch Fox News. And here's what happened when they decided who to schmooze. The head of congressman, he's double El Paso. The gun lobby had given him a big stash full.
Yeah.
The NRA guy has himself a big castle. LaPierre makes his money from guns. Don't make your money from guns. Don't make your money from guns. Make your money from guns.
Yeah, go on.
Don't make your money from guns.
Yeah. Go on, sir. You represent nobody. And nobody loves you.
Nobody
I'm sorry. I was doing my Diana Ross from Mahogany. Sometimes I slip into it. All right.
That is such a random impression that you do.
I love that movie so much.
Especially the scene when Lillian Gish takes the mask off.
No.
And,
do you know where you're going to?
All right, it's time for Eric Bowler. Come on, everybody.
Eric
Come
Bowler
on.
From Media
Get
Matters
together.
For America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bowler.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bowler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bowler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bowler.
Good morning, Eric Bowler.
Good morning.
You know, interesting marriage equality week. When I am just drinking my box wine over the weekend, I would marry your tweets if I could. each and every one of them is just like a little, it's like a tiny glass figurine to me. It's so.
I think Tony Perkins would have something to say about that.
No, mother blood, no. No, the other one, that's right.
By the way, speaking of which, did you hear what Rush Limbaugh said on marriage equality week, Eric?
What did he say?
Oh, here he is with a caller.
Perhaps we need to take a step back and think about what has all this progressiveness really done to our culture? And I think we know the answer to that.
I think we do.
Right. No doubt. But it's all based in love. Everybody loves each other, and so whatever happens is fine.
You know, and every time you talk about the...
I love my sofa. And I sit on it every night. And it loves me back. If I could marry my sofa, I might think about it.
Oh. Wow, he sounds high or something.
Let me just go on a limb and say I do not think his sofa loves him. Wow, it's bad analogy week, isn't it, Eric?
Oh my God! Yeah. At the end of a long week for Rush, you know, and there was Karl Rove on this week saying, you know, he can probably see a Republican nominee. The next Republican nominee supporting gay marriage. So this whole, you know, whether you're talking about immigration, we're talking about gay rights, the whole thing has just completely surpassed the Rush Limbaughs and the Fox Newses of the world. And they're waging this losing battle, but if you listen to Rush, they're not even trying anymore. I mean, you know, the poll numbers last week on gay marriage were just kind of amazing compared to 10 years ago. And, you know, they can see the writing on the wall. I mean, this is a social movement, and it's come and gone, basically. This issue is basically been put to rest. And it's yet another key social issue that the conservative movement has just completely lost.
And no amount of OxyContin make that go away.
Well, though some may try. Here's that moment you were talking about, Karl Rove on ABC this week.
Karl Rove, can you imagine the next presidential campaign, a Republican candidate saying flat out, I am for gay marriage?
I could.
Yikes. Wow. Yeah. That's when, as you pointed out, he was not talking about, you say, a very serious Karl Rove on Fox News discussing the politics of the Easter egg roll.
Yeah, that was on Fox on Friday. You know, the Easter egg roll is tied in with the massively important issue of the White House tours and things like that. But, you know, Karl Rove says, you know, the next Republican nominee could support gay marriage, and they're obviously going to be, I assume they're going to be completely different on immigration. And so this goes to the tension, you know, this right-wing civil war, and it's, you know, it's being waged quietly now because there's not a ton at stake this year in terms of elections, but, my gosh, I mean, 10 years ago, if you had thought a Republican, you know, and Republican leaders are basically urging, you know, politicians to embrace gay marriage, you know, the opposition, which had been a cornerstone in the previous decade, you know, suddenly embraced, you know, immigration reform and things like that. So, you know, I don't think it's being done out of, you know, goodwill, honestly. I think it's being done out of flip-flopping and watching the polls. But this is where the tension comes from. Ralph Reed talking about evangelicals will sit out if they, you know, if they, quote, embrace gay marriage in the Republican Party and things like that.
Well, same with immigration reform, right? I mean, they're basically just saying, oh, right, we lost on that issue. But
yeah. I mean, Sean Hannity, like 24 hours after the election, he's like, oh, forget it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, ignore everything I've said for the last 7 years. You know, at the one hand, you know, folks on the left can appreciate that, you know, they see it's a loser issue. And, you know, if Fox News throws in on the towel on immigration hate, if they do, you know, it would make it easier for change to happen. But, yeah, I mean, it's just like, oh, you know, forget it.
Except the problem is
for principles.
Right. But they didn't even bother to, like, you know, you're not supposed to say it out loud. It's to get the Latino vote back.
You're supposed
to say, I've had an evolution in my thinking. I don't know if it's the right thing to do. Something. Put a little effort into it.
And, you know, there was no court case. There was no new legislation. It's just like, oh, we lost. Forget it.
Yeah, forget it. How did you enjoy the Republican autopsy, by the way?
That I thought was fascinating.
Yeah.
And as I wrote on Friday, you know, I said, you know, by the way, Roger Ailes isn't buying it. Roger Ailes is not signing off on this inclusive new approach.
Right.
Set aside immigration. I mean, the report was about reaching out to women, reaching out to gays, reaching out to all minorities. And if you watch Fox News, they're not interested in, you know, of course, Roger Ailes was taking his star turn last week with this, you know, this puppet sort of bio that was published, you know, this sort of Valentine that was published to him. So he's out doing sort of the media rounds, and he's sort of the clarion voice of the right-wing conservative movement, and he couldn't care less about this. This GOP push for intolerance. So
yeah,
my
well,
point
that's
was,
because you've said it's the right wing entertainment complex. They're not interested in winning elections.
No,
they're interested in ratings.
Tolerance does nothing for their 15-minute rating hits. You have to feed the phony outrage machine. So that's the conundrum.
How dare you bring up the phony outrage machine? See what I did? Eric, you know, Jackie was bringing this up earlier. It really is amazing. If anyone in the, you know, real media is paying attention to what the president just did overseas, and you did, you said, oh, look, Obama helped broker peace between Israel and Turkey. Has Jen Rubin typed up something hysterical yet?
Right. I mean, so not only did he go over there and went, you know, and was bestowed this very prestigious award by the leaders of the Israeli government, you know, and, you know, as the right-wing media is Fox is claiming he's going over on an apology tour, and, you know, he hates Israel, and he's destroyed our relationship, and there he is, you know, getting this presidential medal. And then the next day we learn he's basically, you know, helped completely patch up relationships with Israel and Turkey.
Jackie was saying on the
15
tarmac.
15 minutes before he gets on the plane.
Oh, by the way, could you call
it's
the guy
like,
from
you
Turkey?
Know, if he really was for like the Superman invitation. Yes. Oh, by the way, you know, and so Netanyahu calls up, you know, the Turkey Prime Minister, and within hours they've reestablished their, you know, diplomatic relations. And this is supposed to be the guy who's on an apology tour.
Amazing.
And he stiff arms Israel, and he doesn't understand their, you know, their plight.
He gets applause from an Israeli.
Connected to reality.
Yeah. He gets applause from an Israeli audience for talking about a two-state solution. Mm-hmm. It was like,
it's like
nothing
he,
but net.
It's like he reversed the rotation of the earth so he can go back in time.
Yeah.
Right. And then
it just shows, you know, the right-wing media, particularly when they talk about Israel in the Middle East, I mean, they represent like 4% of the American electorate. You know, Obama, like every Democrat for the last half century, you know, completely waltzed to re-election with the, you know, Jewish American vote. You know, the Bill Kristols and the Fox News and the Jen Rubins, they make a lot of noise, you know, pushing this, you know, this frankly, the smear campaign about Obama and Israel. None of it reflects reality. It doesn't reflect American politics reality. And then he goes overseas and he, you know, wins the Medal of Honor and you know, and broaches a peace plan.
If he had also, right before he got on the plane, said, by the way, here's the formula to cure cancer, they Fox News would have been like, president destroys pharmaceutical industry. Yeah. I mean, it's and you even say, OMG, Chuck Todd actually blamed Obama for not bringing peace to the Middle East in his first term.
Chuck tweeted me back. He said, oh, I didn't say that. You exaggerated. You know, look at the tape. You know, his question was basically, you know, you said you were going to, you didn't want to deal with this in the second term, and here you are dealing with it. I'm like, dude, every president for the last half century has been dealing, you know, with peace in the Middle East. I mean, are you really blaming Obama for not fixing it in the first term? I'm like, come on.
I heard someone do that this weekend on guns. Well, he didn't do anything the first term. It's like, so? You know, he was busy getting us out of Iraq and Afghanistan and getting health care. Like, what?
And fixing the economy.
Thank you.
Right. And now he's trying to do something, and that's a whole separate thing.
Yeah. But, oh, my God. Know, I wish we had more time, because as you tweet, and we'll talk about it when we get back, can both lose? A Twitter war has broken out between Donald Trump and Michelle Malkin.
Oh, boy.
That's just, you just got to make more popcorn, right, Eric?
You really do.
All right, Eric Bowler from Media Matters, thanks so much. Great stuff as always.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right,
bye.
There you go. It's Eric Bowler from Media Matters. Yay. Yeah, we got this. This is one of the most entertaining Twitter wars ever. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't get it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. After my hot girl on girl action on Southwest Airlines over the weekend, Jim, I will be on Aaron Burnett tonight.
Oh, really?
On CNN, on the show.
Is Aaron Burnett aware of this?
On her, no.
Whoops.
What? Oh, okay. Everybody, look alive. 1-800 step one.
I spoke too soon about the new chair.
Did your chair fall apart right on the air?
Yeah, someone sabotaged it.
Someone sabotaged Jim's chair while we were on vacation.
I'm just going to say that used to be my spot.
Really? Why? Interesting, Eve. Perhaps you were going for my chair. Okay.
Just one chair at a time.
She's taking over. Jason in D.C. Hi, Jason. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm kind of perplexed here by the left and the right. The number one way of dropping the amount of gun deaths in the United States that aren't due to suicide would be to decriminalize and legalize drugs.
Yeah.
And we're arguing about something as silly as, like, clips in a gun, and that's like a fat person thinking they're going to lose weight by switching to sweet and low, but they can still have their, you know, pound of ice cream and, you know, eat their cheesecake. So, you know, think about the number of banks.
Jason, I do think that is a more practical thing. I mean, when you look at a lot of these shootings, if they had to reload, at least some more people would be alive.
No, but let's look at the big point. You know, if we decriminalize the drugs, it would drop by thousands.
Yeah,
thousands.
No, I mean, I think that is a part of it. I'm just saying, I think clips help, don't you think?
Sorry, this chair thing's still happening.
Okay, that's okay. Someone talk to me.
It's like an IKEA chair.
Hi.
Hi.
I just asked Travis to run another chair.
No, I was watching Bill Maher, and he literally was saying, like, Democrats, oh, we're the party for reloading. Like, that's the best we can do. Is, you know, I think this gun argument is just so ridiculous. I think clips should have been easy to get done, along with background checks. I'm just, Okay, Hack in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Did Wayne LaPierre really address rap lyrics?
What's that?
Did Wayne LaPierre really address rap lyrics?
I think he did, yes. I think he did.
Oh, my freaking God. Who was the last rapper that shot a man in Reno just to watch him die?
Johnny Cash?
There you go.
Johnny Cash was
He was the man in black.
Yes.
Dale in Arkansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dale.
Hi, Dale, Steph. How you been doing?
I'm good. I'm in the middle of a bar fight. I know that's what it sounds like.
Well, that's what it sounds like. You know, I was going to tell you, I'm a church person. I believe in God, and I believe in the Bible quite seriously.
Okay.
And we're talking about this gay marriage earlier and everything. You know what God did to them, how he punished them in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New, the gays? I just think that they're walking down the wrong street and pushing awful hard on it.
I'm confused by all of your
today.
By all of your analogies. Hang on a second. How did God punish the gays?
Well, the Romans were having the orgies and everything.
That was about promiscuity, not homosexuality.
Yeah. Right. That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was referring to bicurious middle-aged women that try to put their tongue in strangers' mouths on Southwest Airlines.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wow. I did not expect that laugh from you.
And the other thing I was going to talk about that time was about the NRA. And I'm a member, of course, of the National Rifle Association. I believe in some of the things that they have and we do.
Like
some
what?
Some things they don't. But
what things do you believe in?
But the one thing I believe in is our right to carry arms, period.
Right.
That's something given to us. I came from Arizona where we carried our weapons openly at that time, and we had a lot less murders during the 60s, 70s.
Well, there are also a hell of a lot less people in Arizona during the 60s and
right.
70s.
Amen, that's true. But in the
right.
winter time, of course, you know, you tripled your amount of people in Arizona, and the same thing occurred. It's still the low percentage in deaths because of with guns. There's more accidents because out of state people, but that's where you go. But anyway, I just wanted to cover that shortly.
Okay.
On weapons, like, you know, I'm a gun hunter, and
you're a gun hunter? You
hunt
guns?
What
if they shoot back?
Guns. I collect them, and I take a look, you know, at different ones, and I say, no, we don't need 50 rounds. I agree.
Okay.
We don't need 50 rounds. 10 rounds is
no.
Adequate.
If you can't hunt your own gun with less than 50 rounds, then you are not much of a hunter, my friend.
Bless his heart.
Gun hunter.
Be very, very quiet.
I'm hunting guns.
Ow!
We are hunting.
I shot myself.
Our own guns.
I freaking shot myself.
That call went everywhere.
Yeah,
wow.
That was a pinball machine.
It really was.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of a bumper car. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour. Jim, Reince Priebus?
Yes.
You're supposed to say it.
Reince Priebus!
All right, we'll talk about him next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Your breasts are great.
Thank you very much. 34 minutes after
the hour.
Is that
the woman you met on the plane?
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Told.
Yeah, after getting her hands on some of that androgel.
Don't get it out of anybody.
I touched the androgel.
Oh, no. Can I fit my in the overhead compartment? All right. By the way, we would like to welcome a brand-new affiliate this morning. This is very exciting.
Mm. Oh?
Salisbury, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. We are airing between Laura Ingraham and Glenn Beck. Thanks, my big sister, Mary James, helped get her done.
Sweet.
That's quite a sandwich.
There. Yeah. You know what that means? My 90-year-old Republican mom might be able to hear us.
Oh, boy. Oh.
So just let's talk quieter this morning.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
So we're after...
We'd like to...
Anyway. So we're after Laura Ingraham?
Stop it.
Behind
her,
is what you're saying?
Start the trouble again.
We're in front of Laura Ingraham, apparently.
Stop it.
How does that work? That's sure I want to know.
Was Laura Ingraham on a Southwest Airlines flight?
All right.
Okay.
Oh, for those of you who missed the story, I was flying back from vacation yesterday, and I swear to God, I don't know, what would you call it?
Attractive middle-aged
horny,
woman?
Horny straight woman. Mm-hmm. She asked if she could kiss me. On the flight! And I said,
computer says no.
She was offering
no,
me a mint.
No.
I said, no, thank you. No, thanks.
Would you like to go to rehab?
And it would have been in front of a teenager from Orange County.
Right. And I got it.
Hey, God.
And I got mom.
I saw two chicks kissing.
You're not going to believe what is happening.
Hey, Ermigerd.
Ermigerd.
Church cursing.
Okay.
Church cursing.
All right, we were talking about Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus!
Right, was talking about, their focus group, you know. They did their autopsy, you know.
Focus groups described our party as narrow-minded.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Out of touch.
Yes.
And, quote, stuffy old men.
Sure.
Our message was weak.
Yep.
Our ground game
Check.
Was insufficient.
Check. Who was in charge?
We weren't inclusive.
Yes.
We were behind in both data and digital.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And our primary and debate process needed improvement.
Right.
Blue chunk.
So there's no one solution. There's a long list of them. Mm.
There's a long list of problems,
too. You might want to start with getting rid of you. Getting rid of the guy in charge of all that.
Yeah, you're the guy who skeeved it all up.
But the best part is they don't want to change any of their policies. They just want new wrapping paper.
They're going to do this with their hands, though. Same ideas. They're going to go like this now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, we missed his birthday, right?
Yes, we were on vacation on March 18th.
Right.
It was the birthday of Reinhold Reince Priebus.
Right.
So I'd like to wish you herzliche Glückwünsche zum Geburtstag, Reinhold Reince Priebus. And I'm sure his lovely wife, Sally, made him a nice German-American Bund cake. And for the three of you who got that joke, you're welcome.
I got that joke.
Right. We wish all the pre-buy well.
The pre-buy?
Pre-buy.
Hmm.
This kid.
This entire family.
Okay.
Mrs. Priebus in the pre-buy. That's the plural.
Sure.
Exactly. All right. Charles Blow.
Sorry, what?
Don't say it.
Who you got, what you do.
He is a very good writer, as Jackie knows, in the New York Times, right?
Yes.
And that's what he's a lot of stories about the Republican Party's disarray. Mm-hmm. The GOP's a Bachman problem in this particular. Because, you know, the CPAC was last week. We missed all of the...
Oh, that glory.
Glad tidings.
Wow.
But, I did. I missed some of this. Ann Coulter, it featured. Here are some of the fun facts about CPAC, in case you missed it, as we did. Ann Coulter made a fat joke about Chris Christie.
Yeah. After she said that, if they didn't nominate him, they would lose.
Right.
Can we make stick figure jokes about Ann Coulter?
She said even CPAC had to cut back on speakers just this year by almost 300 pounds. There's a joke about this. Christie wasn't.
Well, she's not the one to talk about anybody's weight issues. Mm-hmm.
She looks like she's going to just
That's
crumble.
That's why Chris Christie didn't come, because it would have been Lord of the Flies. Ann Coulter would have killed him with a rock.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or at least broken his glasses with a rock.
Right.
Yeah.
I think her bones are too brittle to lift up a rock.
Because she subsists on nothing but cigarettes and Chardonnay.
Or any other Middle Eastern country. Hello, I'm fired.
Oh.
Bada-bing, boom.
Okay.
Ching,
also
pow.
At CPAC, the half-term ex-governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin, took a whack at Karl Rove. Oh, this is just gets better and better. Challenging him to run for office himself. Buck up or stay in the truck.
What?
She said.
What the hell does that mean?
Did you see her big gulp shenanigans?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, she brought a wacky prop. She's the carrot top of the CPAC now.
She did.
She brought a big gulp. Get up because she's not. She's anti-nanny nanny state or
whatever.
Oh, gosh, with the prop humor. She said, Rove shot back that if he were to run and win, at least he'd finish one term. Ouch! Donald Trump is
zing.
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 Bang.
Pow. Well, I'm here to lose you. I'm some kind of clown.
They're all clowns. Please, don't fight. Donald Trump Twitter to call Michelle Malkin a dummy who was born stupid. Wait, do I have the... Wait, hang on a minute.
Well, that's...
Jackie, have you been following this Twitter war? Hang on, I think I have the
no,
actual...
No, I have actually not been following this Twitter
war. Oh, you have a life?
Because
oh,
there are
damn.
Two people that I dislike any more than...
Donald Trump and Michelle
yeah.
Malkin?
Yeah. This is awesome. Oh, so... Oh, and this is nice. She called Trump a conserva fraud.
Which,
let's see.
That's...
Wait, is it Trump
clever.
And Malkin or Trump and Bachman?
Trump and Malkin have
I know,
been
it's hard to keep
a,
them straight.
In a Twitter war.
Oh.
This
yeah.
one, just make some extra popcorn and hang on. Michelle Malkin, here's something about Donald Trump. He supports CeeLo, cheered socialized medicine, smeared my past, and called me a dummy. Hashtag phony. Michelle Malkin, Donald Trump wrote back, hashtag Michelle Malkin, at least dummy's true. Michelle Malkin wrote back, still waiting for coward Donald Trump to tell me what my past I should be ashamed of. Hashtag smear merchant. Donald Trump wrote back, Michelle Malkin, you were born stupid.
Seriously?
This is what?
You're
this
born is... stupid in Dumbville.
No, you are, but what am I?
Shouldn't he be running his corporations and not getting them bankrupt
really?
Instead of, like, doing
well, yeah, he's
crap
running.
Like this?
He's running them into the ground.
Sure.
I'm stupid. You're stupid, you stupid.
You're
stupid
the
head.
Stupid head of stupid deal.
But Donald Trump then tweeted, Michelle Malkin would be nothing without being on the Sean Hannity show. I don't see what Sean sees in her, loser. Michelle Malkin,
yes.
Donald Trump, Sean Hannity, I've worked my ass off my whole life. Unlike you, I never abused government power to steal private property.
She was actually a very popular blogger before she ever hit TV.
Like, yeah,
she had
that
a pretty
is true.
Large online right-wing yeah. following before she ever blessed
and
you.
She had a huge ass to work off. Huge, huge.
He did not say that.
He wanted to.
He wanted to.
Probably
wow.
lost the will to live.
I just don't understand why anybody pays him any attention anymore.
I know.
I mean,
because they put him on TV.
Yeah.
Because I was born stupid and huge.
He's an easy get for bookers.
Yeah.
So the Republican
but
Party's
substance.
I know.
Because of stuff like that, now stand at a 20-year low. And then we have Michelle Bachman. That's why Charles Blow called it GOP's Bachman problem. PolitiFact rated two of her claims during CSPAC as pants on fire. Pants on fire lies.
Right.
The first was that 70 cents of every dollar that's supposed to go to the poor actually goes to salaries and pensions of bureaucrats.
Yeah.
Incorrect. The second was that scientists could have a cure for Alzheimer's in 10 years if it were not for the cadre of overzealous regulators, excessive taxation, and greedy litigators.
What?
Also not true. She also said during the speech that President Obama was having a lifestyle that is one of excess in the White House, detailing
what?
How many chefs he had and so on. The Washington Post claimed that. Poor Pinocchio's. Pants on fire, poor Pinocchio.
The White House has always had chefs.
No. They all made their own sandwiches.
Sure. Mac and cheese every night. Right.
Anyway, he concludes, people like Bachman represent everything wrong with the Republican Party. She and her colleagues are hyperbolic, reactionary, ill-informed, and ill-intentioned, and they have become synonymous with the Republican brand, despite the best efforts of
Reinhold Reinsprebus.
Well, there are no moderates or reasonable Republicans anymore that have any sort of voice.
Right. That's it's the people that get the airtime, right?
Exactly.
Kathleen in Chicago.
Oh. Good morning.
Hi, Kath.
Glad that you and your team is back. I missed you guys last week.
We missed you.
Okay.
Me too.
Two things real quick, and don't cut me off.
As far as the
Republicans, they say they want to reach out to the black neighborhoods. Make sure you tell them to bring us some good fried chicken, potato salad, and some good cold watermelon.
Now, see, if I had said that.
Sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
All right. Jackie.
Yeah.
Speaking of fact-checking Michelle Bachman, see if you find anything awry in her thoughts on health care here.
This is my favorite.
You are a
if you're going where I think you're going.
She claims that vulnerable women, vulnerable children, vulnerable senior citizens will all pay more under the federal health care law and get less in return.
Based on
what? Well, actually, provides free preventative service for women includes prescription drug coverage for seniors, extends funding for children's health programs for 2 more years. But other than that,
they're all going to die.
Right. Yeah. That's what she said.
Sure. Free is too expensive.
She said to stop the law before it literally kills women, children, and seniors.
Okay. That's the law, actually.
Yeah.
Just kill all the women and children.
And children.
And seniors.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah, literally.
Right.
You figured
actually,
it out.
Studies show this will come as news to you that you are less likely to die if you have health insurance.
Really?
Huh. Right. However, she says it will
amazing.
Kill you.
Amazing.
She's a precious. She's a precious pumpkin.
Bless her
okay,
heart.
Daryl in California real quick. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
You know, they talk about guns and like that, but what about the hidden cost and the people get injured, the hospital bills, then they go to court and the court cost and clogging up that system and what it's costing us for them to be able to have a 100-round clip.
Yeah, actually true. There's a reverberation of all of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, our friend Eric Bollert tweeted, he said, hashtag NRA, good guys with guns will always stop bad guys with guns, so why are 3 Marines dead this morning?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, it's the
that
same.
Was a few mornings ago.
Yeah. Right, was right. Eight, I think 8 was the total, 7 yeah. or 8 Marines Ugh. That were shot and killed.
Yeah, well, I mean, Fort Hood, you can make a...
Oh, no, just, no, the 3 Marines, you're right. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm thinking about the accident. There right. was a Marine accident.
Right, that was in Nevada.
That was in Nevada. Yeah, no, the 3 that were shot, yes.
Yeah.
By the way...
The man who shot himself.
We were saying, well, we're going to talk about... It's just that I don't think there's any other issue where the Congress is more out of step with the American people than guns. Background checks more popular than keeping a ram from getting nuclear weapons. How about that? According to a Pew poll, 64% of Americans think the U.S. should prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons. The gun statistics among Americans, 83% support universal background checks in that poll. Even this most popular provision, still not considered locked to pass the Senate, let alone the House. 56% of Americans supported an assault weapons ban in the Pew poll, the measure still deemed impossible to pass.
You know what the hang-up is? Personal sales, private sales.
Right.
That's the hang-up. And in order to get bipartisan support, Chuck Schumer's trying to work out some sort of deal where they mm-hmm. can not have limitations on private sales, like between family members or friends.
Right.
But that's the hang-up. I mean, that yeah. is wherein the Republicans and I guess some of the moderate Democrats have an issue. They don't want any kind of regulation or background checks on private sales.
Yeah. All right. We have some crunchy audio goodness from mm-hmm. the gun debate from the House floor. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour, Congressman Representative Mark Takano yep. of the great state of California, who's right out there, joins us at the top of the hour. He's one of the newest openly gay members of Congress.
That's right.
And it is here on this historic week before the Supreme Court starts debating marriage equality tomorrow.
Yay!
So he joins us live in studio. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jackie, you were updating us on what is happening with gun legislation, which I just was saying... It is just amazing how out of step Congress is with the American people on this issue.
Yeah, well, it's universal background checks are wildly popular, and the problem, the hang-up, is that some members of Congress are interested in having different rules for private sales, so sales
yeah.
between family members or sales between friends. They don't want to have a universal background check
right.
system that's truly universal.
Well,
so
you know,
therein lies the hang-up, and right. Senator Chuck Schumer...
It's good that it was so easy for Adam Lanza to get his mom's gun.
I know, right?
Right?
So
guns,
I think
plural.
He just took that.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't actually any sort of...
It wasn't a sale.
Right.
That wasn't an intentional transfer
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean...
Why
so,
can't we do anything about this technology, about recognition, where only the owner of the gun can use it?
Oh, that would be interesting.
It's kind of... It's expensive to deploy into every single
Hey, you know
gun.
Who has a lot of money? Gun lobby.
Yeah,
NRA.
Right.
They got
know,
lots of money.
I know.
Lots
but,
and lots of money.
But that's where the little hang-up is.
Harry Reid showing his usual spine of steel.
Yes, I think that perhaps some form of legislation might be appropriate someday in the future under certain circumstances. And I'm sorry you heard me get so vexed about this.
Circumstances whereby your testicles might actually descend at some point in order to... Okay.
Oh, there they go.
Bink, bink. Okay.
There you go. That's more like it.
Pick one of those exercise balls. Wait a minute. You know, somebody was saying that isn't it different after Newtown? And somebody on television this weekend, I guess not. Guess that's not, you know, 20 dead kids, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. Neil Heslin is the father of a Newtown victim speaking about this.
Quite honestly, I'm really ashamed to see that Congress doesn't have the guts to stand up and make a change and put a ban on these type of weapons and universal background checks.
It's hard to look at the cover of, I think it was Newsweek.
Yeah.
But all those kids. Yeah. Just, ugh.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, what more would it take exactly? Michael in Chicago on guns. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hi, guys. I just wanted to see if what your thought on this was. If we started to change the dialogue a little bit about these 10,000 murders we have every year. I consider these 10,000 murders by gun violence a domestic terrorist situation. Why can't we change the dialogue? It seems like people will be gung-ho about doing anything we can to stop foreign terrorism. Yeah. But when it becomes domestic terrorism, they don't really seem to make any moves on it. I'm sure these senators and congressmen would do everything they could possibly do to keep their hands out of out of foreign terrorists, but they don't do it for domestic terrorists.
Can you imagine this amount of deaths? I mean, by any other cause, and we would be, I mean, it really is, it's just because, I can't remember, every statistic you read is mind-boggling. I think this one was comparing us to England. I mean, it's not even...
Not even close.
I don't even know what the number. It doesn't even matter anymore. Yeah. It's like, we have like a zigabillion, some kid number. We have a gazillion, bazillion more gun deaths than,
Canada has a lot of guns and very little
They have hunting in their history.
Yeah.
So.
Doesn't it just seem it would be more effective if people just came out and said, nobody's trying to take your gun away?
Yeah.
I just keep saying that over and over again. Like, nobody's
proof that you're trying to take my gun away. That's just what the government would have you believe.
That was the NRA's argument.
Nobody's
the fact that Obama hasn't tried to take our guns away is proof that he's going to as soon as we drop our guard.
Exactly. Boner.
They should actually do a real background check on everyone. And maybe the Department of Justice ought to enforce the law.
That's the argument every time. We're not enforcing the laws we have, blah, 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 blah.
There's a little bit of truth in that, though. A
little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. But, you know, the fact is, all of these are just, like, common sense measures that would help.
Yeah.
And why not try anything that would help?
Exactly.
And the assault weapons ban did work. Gun violence went down when it was enforced.
It has tripled.
And when it was repealed.
Since it was repealed.
Right. We need all of this in addition to enforcing the laws that are already on the books better.
Right.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who Wayne LaPierre reminds us, is a Jew.
He didn't literally say that.
No, he didn't say he's a Jew.
It's just
close enough.
He said, you know how those people are.
Jim did a perfect rendition.
Wayne LaPierre gets more and more likable by the minute.
He had a bad cough on Meet the Press. Jim Ward did it perfectly. He had a little bit of a bad cough.
What I'm saying is the rap music people, blast. Hollywood,
excuse me, David, I'm sorry. Could I have some water?
That was more that his earlier pronouncement when he was...
Yeah, bunch of dog whistles.
You're talking about, you know, rich guys spending their money...
On a rich
in
guys.
...in New York, you know what I'm saying? Here, Lassie.
Okay, Mayor Bloomberg.
If you want to own a gun, I certainly think that's constitutionally protected. You certainly have a right to have a gun if you want. If you want to eat a lot and get fat, you have a right to do it. But our job as government is to inform the public.
You know, I bet him when he goes skeet shooting, he doesn't use clay pigeon. He uses 16-ounce drinks. He just punches a bunch of them on the wall and blows them up.
Do you think it's a little
Real good.
Exactly.
Do you think it's a little problematic, though, that Bloomberg is trying to push for some regulations in Manhattan, and now he's also at the same time pushing for gun restriction? Like, there is a way to tie those two together and say, look, he's trying to... create a nanny state, and he wants to do that with your...
I agree with a lot of the stuff he does, but some of it, it gets a little...
The 16-ounce thing is pointless if you have free refills. I mean,
it's a little nanny state. Yeah.
But
he's a little Mary Poppins.
But he should argue against things like high-fructose corn syrup and non-sodium glutamate and GMO anything.
Right.
Or at least, you know, a big education effort.
Hormones.
So you can make your own decisions.
That's what he said. He said this is about education. It's just the studies show whether it's obesity, smoking, he's right about everything he's talking about. It's just how you address those problems.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the gun regulation issue is in the forefront, right. So they can put those two together in a way that would be unfortunate. But
if he wanted to have a sense of humor, he would dress like Mary Poppins and he would fly in with an umbrella for his next press conference.
It wouldn't be a spoonful of sugar, though.
I am pro nasty.
It would be a spoonful of, I don't know, Splenda.
Stevia.
All right, Representative Mark Tucano next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
LGBT Americans are our colleagues, our teachers, our soldiers, our friends, our loved ones. And they are full and equal citizens and deserve the rights of citizenship. That includes marriage. That's why I support marriage for lesbian and gay couples.
Thank you, Hillary Clinton. Hoorah! 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. We welcome live in studio with us Representative Mark Tucano, who is one of the very newest openly gay members of Congress on this historic week in front of the Supreme Court. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Glad to be here.
And thanks so much for taking time for us. Here's the thing where I think is real progress. I got to hang out with Senator Tammy Baldwin at the inauguration, and I loved it in her race, and I think probably in yours. It really wasn't an issue anymore. Nobody really even brought up sexual orientation.
It was very much in the background. And funny thing is that the people who are most interested were sort of liberal journalists like you.
I'm just titillated by the whole thing.
We said several stories about the difference between when I ran 20 years ago and when I ran this time around. And so a lot of the stories were about that. And it was typically, you know, the more progressive press is interested in that.
Well, you know what's interesting is I think it has become a nonpartisan issue. I wouldn't even say bipartisan. Would you? It's interesting. This morning, I was just saying we welcome a brand new affiliate, WSTP, in Salisbury, North Carolina, and we're airing between Laura Ingraham and Glenn Beck. My big sister Mary James helped get us on there,
wow.
And my 90-year-old Republican mom lives there. My dad ran for vice president with Barry Goldwater. But, I mean, it's not just Rob Portman. I mean, so many Republicans have come out in favor of marriage equality, including Ted Olson, who's arguing the case,
well,
right?
Well, it's funny. I was speaking to a television producer on the Hill. He's a news producer, and he was covering CPAC.
Yeah.
And, you know, the general vibe at CPAC is that the young conservatives, it's not a big deal. And,
right.
In fact, the session or the breakout session where they were speaking out against it, or it was the anti-gay session, had no one there. And then I think the session where everybody was talking about marriage equality was packed. So that's an amazing turn of events, really.
It is. I mean, and I always say this, Congressman, in my personal story, I felt like, you know, I came from this sort of, you know, I thought very Republican Catholic family, and I spent so many years thinking they were going to judge me. I judged them. It took me about 15 years to come out to my family, and they couldn't have been more loving and supportive. And you think, wow, I lost 15 years of closeness by judging them or thinking they're going to be intolerant about it. And that was a long time ago. And look where we've come now.
Well, you know, public sentiment has changed. And, you know, I've been reading this biography of Lincoln by Doris Kearns Goodwin. Mm-hmm. And there's a wonderful quote. I wish I had brought my iPhone in here so I could get the quote. But it goes something like this. It was in the 1850s. And he was talking about public sentiment. And he said, you know, it's the most important thing. If you mold public sentiment, if you're a molder of public sentiment, that goes much further than any legislator or judicial decision. It goes far deeper. Marriage equality is something that's already winning, and I believe it's won in the court of public opinion.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, when you have the Rob Portmans of the world come out and say, this is my son, and that's the biggest predicator in all these polls, right, is that you know somebody. It's somebody you love. And so, you know, even Karl Rove is, this weekend said, yes, I can see the next Republican candidate for president supporting marriage equality.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. And I don't want to forget Rob Portman's son, who had the courage to tell his father and come out to him, knowing that his father was one of the most conservative members of the Senate, to be, I don't know, it must have been 18, 19 years old. When he revealed that he was gay to his father. But those little, those thousands, hundreds of thousands of acts of little courage like that have really changed the hearts of
America. You go back to my dad's running mate, Barry Goldwater, whose grandson is gay. But
yeah.
Barry famously said on the 80, you know, the House floor in the 80s, you know, about gays in the military, you don't have to be straight, you just have to shoot straight. I mean, I'm just saying the Republicans that are coming along now, you're kind of stragglers. No offense. I mean, right?
Well, yeah, and I think the most terrible thing, I think, for a politician or a leader, you know, I think about John F. Kennedy's inaugural speech, where he talks about history being our final judge. You know,
is that what you think is going to happen? The court does not want to be on the wrong side of history.
Well, some people are very hard-headed, and you know they're going to do what they're going to do.
Scalia. Excuse me, Congressman.
Need some water.
No, I'm fine. Yes, I need some water. I need a big gulp. I need a Marco Rubio size.
Well,
three.
The last time I spoke to you, I said I'd say a little prayer for him.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
That's right.
Right.
It's like he may come around.
Look at Ted Boutros, who is, he's our friend that works with Ted Olson.
That's right.
What he said.
Proponents of Proposition 8 still haven't been able to come up with an argument as to why, for all the good things about marriage, we need to keep people out who want to get married.
Yeah, I mean, Ted Olson, who's obviously been a longtime conservative, has made, if you even read, you know, Newsweek, the conservative case for gay marriage, it was the most compelling thing I've read.
I've not been able to see what Ted Olson said or wrote, but what the conservative case, you know, I imagine comes across in two different ways. I mean, one is a very conservative libertarian point of view, which, you know, the limited government, stay out of people's business.
Private,
you know,
life, yeah.
Stay out of private life. Another conservative way to come to it is that, of course, we want to promote stable, committed relationships among people. That's those relationships are what undergird our society and make our country better.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, we were talking all morning about what's not just frustrating is not just Republicans, but Democrats that lack courage on the gun issue or whatever it is. And I understand electoral politics in different areas, but the headline I'm reading this morning just makes me at-risk Democratic senators shy away from marriage equality. I mean, how much more do your side of the polls need to be where you have a little political courage?
Well, I don't know how to answer that question. But I want to just take us back. You know, I'm drawing inspiration from Lincoln. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a debate that the famous Lincoln-Douglas debates, you know,
right,
that he had, and it was over the institution of slavery, and they argued about, you know, Lincoln was saying that the founders believed in freedom and equality. They never really mentioned slavery by name in the Constitution.
Right.
Douglas was saying, well, we should allow the new territories that are coming in and want to be states to vote on these things, to vote on the issue of slavery, the doctrine of popular sovereignty. And, you know, that kind of a similar thing has happened now. I mean, this debate about, you know, do you side with the Lincoln sort of argument on marriage equality and talk about it being about who we are as a nation, our ideals of freedom and equality? Or do you think, oh, this should be really left up to the states to decide whether or not it's a valid principle or not, a popular sovereignty?
Right.
And, you know, when I was a young teenager, I thought popular sovereignty, that's, you know, that's kind of persuasive. People should decide that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think about Lincoln, you know, really standing up for something that was higher and more noble. And
Republicans do not like it when you use Republicans in the wrong way. Do not talk about Ronald Reagan and amnesty, zero nukes, raising taxes 11 times. Do not mention the Lincoln. The things that they don't like. All right, we're going to hear arguments like this from a Prop 8 attorney.
The institution of marriage and marriage laws are designed to attach mothers and fathers to each other and to the children that they may create and raise in the best environment.
Oh, boy.
That's this argument.
I couldn't hear that.
She was talking about. I'm sorry. Well, you play it one more time.
Okay. This is actually, put your headphones on.
And I hated to ruin that beautiful hair too. Okay. But here we go.
The institution of marriage and marriage laws are designed to attach mothers and fathers to each other and to the children that they may create and raise in the best environment.
The implication being that straights are automatically great parents.
Right. You can read a story a day. Some horrific story. About straight parents, right? I mean,
I've got two things to say about that. That somehow marriage is only about raising children, and there's plenty of straight couples that have no intention of raising any children at all.
Right.
And if they do raise children, many of them aren't even married. But I can tell you, I know many same-sex couples. Whether it's two lesbians together or two gay men, and they are making wonderful parents, and their kids are wonderfully adjusted, and it really, their children may turn out gay, but their sexuality is something. The children's sexuality has really nothing to do with whether their parents are gay or straight.
You know how I know gays are better parents? Because Melissa Etheridge, the official rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show, she calls into the show sometimes, but she doesn't let her kids listen. She calls when they leave, when they leave the car. That's how I know. Representative Takano, thanks so much for coming in live with us in studio. And let's all, just cross our fingers, say our prayers this week for what happens at the Supreme
Court. Say a prayer for Scalia.
There you go. Like, as Representative Takano has asked.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Representative. We'll see you again real soon.
Okay, thank
all
you.
Right. Representative Mark Takano of the great state of California. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
No, trust me, you do not want to be
Stephanie Miller.
All right, 22 minutes after the hour. These guys can tell you. But we are happy to be back from vacation. We're back. Mama and the Mooks are back, everybody.
Okay.
Here we are. Welcome back. We're back.
Trip with Rowan was okay. Now tap that box of wine and go crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
Back in town, mama's back in town. Moves are back in town. Yeah. Jeff is back in town. Mama's back in town. Moves are back in town.
Yeah. Yay. 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 Thank you, Audra and me.
Welcome home.
Thank you, sweetness.
A band whose name is a pun. Tin Lizzy. It's the car, the Tin Lizzy, Model T, and supposedly a girl who's skinny.
Thank you, Jim. I will never get that 5 seconds of my life back.
Because in Ireland, tin and tin sound the same.
Thank you.
That's the
point. Thank you for that useless piece of information. We, just in time to be back, we welcome a brand new affiliate of my big sister, Mary Jane, Salisbury, North Carolina, WTSP, and the handsome and romantic fine Americans, Tim, Mike Mangan and Tim Coates, the guys that run the joint.
Nice.
We're on between Laura Ingraham and Glenn Beck.
Welcome.
How's that going over there in North Carolina?
So basically, Glenn Beck is spooning you while you're face-to-face with Laura Ingraham.
Right. Ooh. Yeah. Right.
There's an image.
Yes. What? Yes.
What?
And I was just saying, because it's big week at the Supreme Court, debating marriage equality and all that, and I specifically call on North Carolina Democratic Senator Kay Hagan to step forward and show some courage on marriage equality. I'm just going to start ticking people off right away, right out of the gate. She's one of the at-risk Democratic senators shying away from talking about marriage equality. They say Mary Landrieu, Kay Hagan, Mark Pryor, either would not state their position on marriage or decline to comment. She said, I'm really concerned about the budget, about jobs in my state. You can be concerned about that, Senator. She's a good senator. My sister's done fundraisers for her. But just, I'm just saying, step forward.
One does not preclude the other.
That's right. All right. I'm just saying, when Dick Cheney is, you know, to your left on something, you let's go.
Yeah.
It's a good sign. Exactly. Ron in Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ron.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, I wanted to add my voice to the discussion about same-sex marriage. And I introduced my husband to you at the Manhattan Sexy Liberal, if you recall, which was such a thrill.
Thank you.
But so we've been married now for coming on 9 years. We got married in Massachusetts in 2004 and then got a civil union in Connecticut. And then that became marriage in Connecticut.
Right.
And it's the one marriage really stabilized my life. I mean, it's the one thing in my life that has really changed it, transformed it in an amazing way.
And you can confirm now that you've been married that it is always the same sex in marriage.
over and over. Wow, okay. Really?
You do this, I touch that. What?
Actually, I am a bi guy who is married to a guy. So, and, you know, I would love for you to have a conversation about bisexuality, really, which is about...
Listen,
really
I not only had a conversation, I almost...
Both sexes. It's
right.
She almost had a demonstration on Southwest Airlines.
I almost had a demonstration on Southwest Airlines. I flew a horny straight woman airlines home from Tucson. And,
I was saying that, you were... But there are real life consequences also for these laws. There are more than 1,000 federal and state laws that apply to marriage. And,
that's right.
Though we have the state ones, still, if one of us should die, God forbid, that we wouldn't be entitled to the other's Social Security.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's a
people should think about this.
People don't realize when they just
consequences.
Right when they say, "Oh, they have the same rights." That is not true. I can't remember the exact number, but there's hundreds of laws that you would have to go through special, a lawyer and do special stuff to achieve the same things that straight married people get automatically.
Cost a hell of a lot of money.
Exactly. We salute Sony co-chairman Amy Pascal.
Yes.
She gave a little speech. She did a fundraising gala here in L.A. She's the co-chair of Sony Pictures. She appealed to her Hollywood industry colleagues. She said, how about next time when any of us are reading a script and it says words like fag or faggot, homo, dyke, take a pencil and just cross it out. Don't do it. Just don't do it. I'm talking about kids who are gay and I'm talking about kids who aren't gay. One group needs affirmation and the other group needs education. And so, and that's a voluntary thing. That's not a government restriction or, certain... She's just saying, how about we all just not do that?
Yeah. Kind of like when Hollywood took on smoking, what was it, 10 or 15 years ago? They said, we're just not going to put smoking in the movies anymore. And it's kind of jarring to see it in movies if you do see it now.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to do a period show or movie without, like, Mad Men, for
right.
example.
Exactly.
They all smoke on
right.
Mad Men.
But,
because
but contemporary
that's...
movies, nobody smokes in them anymore.
That's
unless you're a bad guy.
Yeah, it's true. It's not
all you
so
learn about it is it goes
be.
With a highball. Or some other kind of
on Mad Men?
Old-timey
Mad
cocktail.
Men, yeah. Yes.
Do you watch Mad Men?
It's 10 in the morning, time for rye.
Yeah. something with bitters.
And cigarettes.
Yes. It's an old man drink.
Every meeting is a smoke and a cocktail.
Exactly.
And it's coming back soon, which I'm excited about.
Oh, Mad Men.
Yeah.
Not smoking.
Oh, no.
No.
Can't wait till smoking's in again.
Kids, do not listen to Aunt Jackie. Smoking is not back.
It's not
it's
cool.
Not cool. It's not in again.
I love smoking it. I hear it's making a comeback.
No. Jack in New York, real quick. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Steph, listen, first of all, I want to say that I am a Republican who you have converted over to the Democratic ways and Sirius Radio. True, it's true.
We
and
welcome
Ed
you.
Schultz, I got to put a plug in for him, too. Mm-hmm. And this last election with the Republicans disgusted me. I do not
Why?
Feel...
Why? There were so many great choices.
Yeah.
They don't need rebranding. It's fine. Just go with what you got. Just re-gift it. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I happen to think Stephanie Miller is very beautiful with her sassy wisdom.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste. Nothing works faster and lasts longer at knocking out bad breath than TheraBreath. TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. Yay!
And it does not come in garlic flavor.
No, it does not.
They're actually very good. They're like mandarin orange mint flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, did you see the two popes had lunch? It was like two popes, a girl, and a pizza place.
Yeah. Well, maybe not the girl.
No girls.
No girls.
No girls. Two popes, no girls, and a pizza place. Would you like some, but this is the first time this has ever happened.
Yeah.
Would you like some Pope fun facts?
Sure.
Okay. This is the first, well, obviously it's never happened. First modern meeting between present and former popes.
Yeah.
Never happened before.
Well, it may have happened in the past, but that was 500 years ago. So it's not modern.
There was no television, so it didn't count. yes, Pope Benny and Pope Frank had, apparently they got along quite well.
Yeah.
Pope Francis declared the two brothers. Francis refused to pray alone at the papal kneeler.
Papal.
The front of
papal.
Papal. Listen,
papal,
I haven't been a Catholic in a long
papal
time.
Papal, we need papal.
Right. Opting instead to pray side by side with Benedict in the same pew. Mm. Isn't that sweet?
Pew, pew, pew.
It's a really bad buddy comedy movie.
Yeah. Right.
Francis also gifted the exiting pope with a Madonna of Humility icon.
It was just a re-gift.
Oh, that was a re-gift from the last call.
Madonna and Humility. I don't
what
see
is
that.
It? Oh, it's a...
Oh, it's a...
Did you keep the receipt? Telling him...
Did they have anchovies on the pizza?
I don't know. Was it what people like to know about fashion?
Sure.
Okay.
It was something other than a robe?
Excuse me. Pope Francis, mantella, and sash distinguished himself from Pope Benedict's simple white cassock of the papacy, proving Francis to be a style maverick.
Okay.
He's going to make one of those e-shows, I'm just saying.
Papalicious. Fashion police.
Papalicious. Yeah. The first pope with a stylist.
Papalicious. Mm.
Marcus Bachman getting him a new hat. So he'll look super.
I'm super.
Thanks for asking. So sacrilegious.
Right?
I'm feeling super. Nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
In this super high hat.
The super high pope hat.
Yeah. He's going to replace Juliana Rancic on Fashion Police on E.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm just being told that on Friday they could have anchovies on the pizza.
Oh,
and
right.
No pepperoni.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
No pepperoni.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Jim,
fish on
for that.
Fridays.
Yes. Ron in Jersey. But not the meat pizza.
No.
No pepperoni
that's
on Friday.
That's why he said no pepperoni.
No
right.
Meat lover's pizza on Friday.
No. Ron in
that's
Jersey.
Over.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, it is. Hi, it is great to see you guys back. You brightened my day.
Thank you.
I'm calling because I'm 69 years old. I've been a pretty successful musician all my life, and therefore I compare everything.
I bet you're the best musician in the aviary you're calling from.
Yeah, I bet that's Dizzy and Lizzie.
Wow.
Anyway, here's my opinion of why the rebranding of the Republican Party will never work, okay? Why their goal is never going to happen. There's a musician by the name of Isaac Perelman, a famous violinist.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He could read anything, do anything. Hank Mancini or Peter Nero, I'm not sure, wrote this great jazz solo for him. He read it note for note. You could have heard the crickets sing. It was so bad. It was just, he, you know, comes down to an old jazz saying, some cats got it, some cats ain't. That doesn't mean that he can't play, but he's not a jazz guy,
right.
Okay? And all of a sudden, just pretend jazz was the biggest music in the world. Everybody wanted to play it. And now the Republicans, who after all their lives have been concert musicians, are going to play jazz. It just doesn't work.
Right.
Yep. By the way,
don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
Exactly. What kind of birds are Dizzy and Lizzie?
Cockatiels. And Dizzy? Dizzy can sing a Big Noise from Winnetka, which is an old jazz tune.
Wow.
And wait, if you want to really get crazy, the Vonage commercial.
Again
and again and again.
And
you guys
dancing.
You guys play a break song that makes them crazy.
Wow. Well, be careful. You know their only natural predator is Dana Loesch.
Oh. Anyway, it's got a whistle on it or something in the very beginning, and they
wow.
go crazy.
All right.
Anyway,
all right.
Make me dizzy, Miss Lizzie.
All right, you two. Bye. Bye, Dizzy.
The
bye,
way
Lizzie.
You rock and roll.
You didn't want to hear the bird sing the Vonage
commercial?
That
was weird.
Could he make it do it on cue?
That's what
yes.
I was yelling.
That's what he was saying.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay, call back.
And you cut him off.
How did
I'm
you
sorry.
Pass up that opportunity?
I didn't hear that he could make him do it on cue.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were more like scat singers. They just did it when they felt like it. All right, call back. All right. In the meantime, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, we've been talking about guns all morning.
90% of the public wants something,
yeah, right?
And their representatives vote against that. Common sense says they are going to have a price to pay for that.
Yeah, you look at issue after issue, again, with marriage equality starting tomorrow in the Supreme Court, you look at I was looking at this in the LA Times. For those of us that have lived down here in California, this is amazing. Most Californians favor citizenship path for illegal immigrants. Remember talk radio out here, all the screaming? People used to be so vehemently. Remember with Pete Wilson and all the Prop 187? You're a little Miami girl. You don't know what we're talking about.
We have big immigration issues in Miami.
You do.
Well, no, I know. But here, this is a huge turnaround. Only 19% of California voters say illegal immigrants should be required to leave. More than half see immigrants as a positive economic force in the state.
They are?
In a dramatic reversal, California voters now see undocumented workers as a positive economic force, overwhelmingly favor a path to citizenship. I mean, it's about two-thirds of survey respondents that illegal immigrants should be granted, should be allowed to stay with eventual citizenship rights, which is just it's a huge sea change here.
Well, do you think it's just a decade of screaming that we need to kick everybody out and build a fence, and it's like, oh, wait, that hasn't worked? Like,
no.
none of that stuff's happened. It's not effective. It's not useful. So maybe we should treat humans like humans and do something.
Well, so there's a labor shortage at some farms. They're running out of people to do the work.
Right. All right, Mayor Bloomberg again on the gun issue.
Clearly, it is a more difficult issue for a lot of people, and I don't know that that reflects the NRA's power. Maybe just that people have different views about assault weapons than they do about background checks.
By the way, Jim, here is the dog whistle you were talking about.
That was a dog whistle?
This was Wayne LaPierre on Meet the Press talking about Bloomberg.
You just heard Mayor Bloomberg, but he's going to find out this is a country of the people, by the people, and for the people. And he can't spend enough of his $27 billion to try to impose his will on the American public. They don't want him in their restaurants. They don't want him in their homes. They don't want him telling them what food to eat. They sure don't want him telling them what self-defense firearms to own. And he can't buy America.
Yeah. You know, because he's a rich guy from New York.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Say no more.
I like that they're self-defense firearms.
Yeah.
And what guns they can and can't buy. They're self-defense
no, they're never
firearms.
Used.
You're right. David Cricket would say, bless you.
Did you
say Jew? No, I said a Jew.
He's a Jew.
David Gregory and Wayne LaPierre.
Somebody give me Kleenex.
Is there any kind of background check you'd be willing to support or at least not oppose actively that could allow this to pass?
We want to fix the existing system on retail sales because our people are the ones that are going through it and are getting delayed. It doesn't work. Nobody gets prosecuted. It's completely ineffective.
Really? What kind of a delay. How many guns do we have in this country? Really? It's so difficult to get one. Our people are being so inconvenienced.
People drive fast, so why have speed limits?
Yeah, there's only 300 million guns in America. It's so hard to get. Anyway, well, you know, the thing is, we were saying, like, immigration, all of these issues, people are... gun seems to be the one disconnect where the polls couldn't be clearer and we can't seem to get anything done. Mm-hmm. But Rand Paul, for instance, on immigration...
We aren't going to deport 12 million illegal immigrants. If you wish to live and work in America, then we will find a place for you. In order to bring conservatives to this cause... However, those who work for reform must understand that a real solution must ensure that our borders are secure.
Anthony in Las Vegas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to speak about the reason why a lot of people would go ahead and buy these kind of guns, why they would want to stock up on food and have this fear of the government and fear of, basically, fear in general. And basically, I would think that it's basically our Federal Reserve System and our monetary system is at a state where we have fiat currency. And, you know, in 2008, whenever the bailout happened, you had Democratic senators and Republican senators both say that they were threatened with martial law, and that if they didn't pass the bailout stimulus, that our country would crash, that our economy would crash, and so forth like that, you know? So I don't think these are truly irrelevant fears, you know, that people have that our economy could crash and that the government cannot be there to provide any kind of help. And then thus, if there's not food, if society and so forth like that happens, who knows? I mean, look what's happening in Greece and Cyprus right now. There's riots every single day because their banks are shutting down, you know, and their governments are passing laws where they're going to take.
Well, that's because they're doing the kind of stuff that Paul Ryan is talking about doing here. Speaking of which, Jim, I have a quote for you. Who said the government bailed out the people and imprisoned the banksters? The opposite of what America and the rest of Europe did. Who said that?
Ryan Reynolds.
No, that was a bad guess. The president of Iceland, Jim.
Ah,
everyone knows that. Exactly, that guy talking about... He was originally called Hafar.
Hafar.
He was explaining how his country recovered so quickly from the recession, because they did the opposite of what we did. Exactly. Thank you. All right. Oh, you know what? In honor of our brand new affiliate in Salisbury, North Carolina, where Glenn Beck follows... In fact, he follows us in like 15 minutes, I believe.
Stop following me! Why are you following me?
And Doomsday Preppers. I'm going to play an ad for his new, you know, paradise, his new whatever.
Are you tired of your government taking away liberties and freedoms you can't quite name? Are your vague platitudes and third-hand anecdotal facts falling on deaf ears? Well, come secede, or sec-D with us, in the Teabagger Utopia.
Glenn, Becky, stand.
I will personally come to your house and help you pack.
Your hard-earned money is yours to keep. There are no taxes in
Glen, Becky, stand.
Of course, there are no roads, bridges, police, fire protection, no teachers, hospitals, libraries, garbage pickup, or sewage treatment in
Glen, Becky, stand.
But hey, who cares about that big government nonsense? You'll feel like our founding fathers as you struggle against the elements, fending off wild animals and your fellow teabaggers when provisions run low and their survivalist training kicks in.
Get off my land!
Who needs government? It's overrated. Join us in
Glen, Becky, stand.
We have freedoms with none of the responsibilities. You want to shoot your gun in any direction? Go ahead. Want to lock your wife and children in the basement? Nobody's asking questions. Remember, freedom isn't free, but with a small down payment, it can be yours for a song.
Above the fruited plain.
Glen, Becky, stand.
Our future is in the past.
Wow. You're welcome, Glenn. My pleasure. It's the, you know, Rand Paul libertarian paradise.
Yes.
Be free.
Right, exactly. Where
regulations.
Eye doctors are free to operate on your eyes with a rusty spoon.
Let the market decide.
Right. Whether people like to be operated on with a rusty spoon.
Bridges, will they collapse or not?
Government.
Let the market decide whether bridges will collapse or not. Who needs regulations?
Just
be
go.
Free. Go.
Building
do.
Code.
Don't
gonna,
think.
We're going to replace all our stop signs with signs that just say, just go.
Food safety.
Figure it out.
Who needs that? Building codes are for pussies.
47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's the aggressive progressive. Down girl.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Slow it down a little bit.
I don't need to be strong that quickly.
Here we go.
I'm not waiting.
Yep. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour. Yeah.
All right. Been talking all week about, or excuse me, all day today about the them being unable to get anything done on guns. Nothing on the sequestration. It is. We shouldn't have to have a crisis, is my point. See what I did there?
Shouldn't have a crisis, every month building. We wouldn't have to waste our time. Shouldn't have a crisis, every week they flip us over losers, it's a crime. You know it's gonna make things that much better if we can say goodbye to the sequester.
Why not?
Sure. Shouldn't have a crisis.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Oh, boy. By the by, Joan Rivers has slammed the entire political system.
Oh.
She deems both the president and Romney both idiots.
Okay.
She said, how dare you spend 2 years campaigning? Yes!
They're not in charge of what? She said they should do what England does, 6 weeks, whatever. All right, but...
We're not in charge of changing.
All right, that's...
Yeah. We're not England.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind a shorter campaign season.
I wouldn't either. But...
Me too, however.
And a heck of a lot less money.
Your favorite thing Joan Rivers has ever said on the red carpet? Anybody? I know mine was the year of Crouching Tiger. What did she say?
It's so great to see all the Asians here.
Oh, yes.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I have another one. When she was interviewing Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, you're here with your mother. That's nice.
He was his wife.
This is my
boy.
Wife. Oh, geez. Oh, and then the Kathy Bates moment.
Kathy, I'll give you a muffin if you come talk to me.
Awesome. All right. Oh, speaking of both sides being idiots, we have another Wiener scandal.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Okay. Who's it now?
State Representative John Frisolo, a Worcester Democrat.
Worcester? Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Worcester?
I just met her.
No, that doesn't work. No.
He's under ethics investigator. He allegedly took photos of his
area.
And posted them on office computers.
Nobody wants to see that.
Right? It's a guy thing. I'm telling you. I've said this over and over.
We do rules for guys at some point. Like, things not to do.
No one wants to see the twigs or the berries.
No, not interesting.
However, I just did post a picture of producer Chris taking his pants off in my driveway yesterday. It's he has nice legs.
Yeah, his legs look good. Yeah.
I was changing
his... He wasn't flashing his junk. He was going to a pool party. Yeah.
After your meeting.
Right.
Yes.
I felt it was inappropriate to show up at your house in a Speedo.
Now my neighbors are like, what is going
on?
Well,
for the record, you have a long shirt on. It does look like you have nothing on.
But right. I have something on underneath, you know.
Just knowing that is
just
enough.
Just enough to make the neighbors think I have some sort of social life. It's fine.
Yeah. Boy band was really interesting.
There's a man with no pants on in a driveway.
I like that you kicked him out before he had time to put his pants on.
Yeah.
You could get out my bathroom.
If that were your social life, you're like, thanks very much, you can change in the driveway.
We had a little meeting, then I'm like, all right, good. Thanks for coming.
Ouch.
Bye.
Get out. Out. Ouch.
Yeah, I was saying it's a guy thing.
Not so interesting. Right?
Not so many girls treat pictures of their
schwanzes. That's
right.
Pretty
I mean,
rare.
Girls do I don't send out pictures of their of
Senator
themselves.
Boxer is not going, who wants to see a little picture of my
not members
box?
Of Congress. Yeah, no.
No. No. No. Does not happen. Okay.
There goes that booking. Thank you.
I was saying she does not. Men. Ugh.
That was a compliment, I think.
Diana.
Not really.
Sort of. Ish.
Couching in inappropriate phrases.
Yes.
Diane in Arkansas.
Now,
my
how am I supposed to be serious after listening to all this?
Exactly.
I am you called
sorry.
The wrong show.
Yes. Well, you're calling the wrong show. Glenn Beck will be on in 10 minutes.
If I listen to you, if I'm a Democrat, and if I wasn't listening to you, I'd be crying. But I listen to you and I start laughing. Okay. Now, what do I do about Senator Mark Pryor? He has been a good, loyal Democrat, but he's up for re-election. We lost the legislature to the Republicans by one or two votes. He didn't vote for
right.
The
and like
budget.
I say, if you're
what are we
right.
to do?
If you're to the left of
getting re-elected, we'll the Dems will lose the Senate. What to do?
Right, right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like when Dick Cheney and Rob Portman are to the left of you on marriage equality. Let's go, stragglers. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't, what do you stand for? You got to. And that's my biggest complaint with the Democrats, even in this state, they won't stand up for their values.
Guess well, that wild man Harry Reid will.
I'm sorry you had to see me like this. I'm furious.
All right. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy, toy, Chris LeBoy, voice, Deity, Jim Ward, Jackie Schechner, News Minx, Travis on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.